Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, please share far and wide because this president needs a popular mandate bigger than we've got. And we got to think about the midterms, think ahead, because I'll tell you, we could be derailed in the midterm election. So please share shows like this and shows of other people that you admire, especially like our guest, John B. Wells. Certainly you want to popularize Caravan to Midnight. We're going to get to John in just a second, but first I need to let you know that we're brought to you by Noble Gold. And I'm telling you, we're going on the gold standard, people, and you're getting this information early. You have a chance to move and make money. Also, Noble Gold can help protect your retirement. Because of the Dodd-Frank Law 2010, they can steal everything associated with the bank as you're in second place now. You can look up the law. So why would you let failing banks steal from you if you have a choice? Noble Gold can help you. Now, the federal government wants me to tell you that no investment's guaranteed and past performance can't be construed with future expectation. I have been not just an advertiser for Noble Gold for 8.5 years. I've been a customer for 7.5 years, and I'm getting ready to do another deal this afternoon. That's right. I'm getting more gold. I had a deal that I just completed. I'm not putting that money in the bank. I'm putting it into gold. And I recommend you do the same thing. All you need to do is go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. Put in your email. That's the only required information we need. And I'll rush you out an electronic packet. It'll have Noble Gold's number on it, have everything there. And I got to warn you about one thing. You'll have to close your own deal. That's right. They are trained to just give you information, guide you through the process, and let you make your own decisions. DaveHodgesGold.com. Well, our guest, well, he's the most recognizable voice, I think, in the media. His show, Caravan to Midnight, is absolutely fantastic and has huge audiences that the rest of us could only be envious of. And it's because he does such a good job exposing the truth. And you know who I'm talking about, John B. Wells. John, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you on.
Thanks for having me on, Dave. I appreciate it very much. Started off the Monday with a roar, yeah? You know, speaking of gold and going to your point, you know that stuff? I'm looking at a site right now, and it's hovering right there at $2,961. So it's about to hit $3,000. And a bunch of these guys said that was going to happen. And this Federal Reserve is over with. It's over with.
They know.
And there's nothing left but the screaming. So there we go. there will be some.
They know it too. Hey, what do you think is going to happen when Elon and Donald go to Fort Knox and there ain't nothing there?
That is one of those questions that could vapor lock even your humble narrator and talk show guy. The short answer is I don't know.
Yeah.
But people are going to be absolutely so ticked off. They will be inconsolable, and they're going to want revenge. You know, I was thinking about that election they just held in Germany. I mentioned it before we came on here. Mm-hmm. The conservatives won. AfD came in second, and the liberal loser party came in third. And, oh, they're all upset because they want their way. So they're prancing around, you know, topless and wearing Nazi hats and all this other nonsense. And these people are fools. They know nothing of Nazis. The German Wehrmacht, none of those guys in the Adolf Hitler regime, they didn't call themselves Nazis. It's a pejorative and nothing but, you know, I mean, people are just there because they have not prepared, because they haven't, you know, people who watch your show, people who watch Caravan, who are interested enough to do this, they've taken some steps to be prepared for what may come. Now, it's pretty difficult to prepare for what may come when you don't know what's coming. But one thing's for sure, we're going to have a little scratch. And gold has always been worth something. It has never been worth nothing. But you remember what happened in the, was it the 80s or the 90s? It started getting bad in the 80s. And then in the 90s, the Mexican peso crashed. And it was 1,000 pesos to the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen. Whoever's got the gold-backed currency. And who do we think has the gold-backed currency? I think Russia has the gold-backed currency. They may not be talking about it, but I'll bet you that's what's backing it.
Well, they're leading the way in BRICS, so that's a logical conclusion. There's no question about that. But I don't know if you've seen this yet or not. I'm sure you have. But the major banks are pulling all their gold out of the Bank of London. And the Bank of London, they're trying to delay and say it's procedural problems. And what used to be a day transfer is now taking 4 to 6 weeks. And J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo and all the rest of them are really pissed off. So, but that's happening. The gold's coming back into the country because they know what's coming. And what's coming is to prevent a complete collapse of the dollar as a basket set of currencies, and gold's going to lead the way.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that much trouble. We might have as many as 30 days of some real pain.
I agree.
While the transition occurs. Some will continue to take Federal Reserve notes because there will be some sort of a way to exchange those, but you won't be getting anywhere near. I mean, I don't know this, Dave, but I don't think you'll be getting as much. If you bring $2,961, is it? You're not going to get $2,961 worth of gold for those actual, for $2,961 in Federal Reserve notes. You'll be getting less. Still, that may be a good thing, but there is one thing I think we can agree on. There is a great shaking that's coming. And people have been saying this, that, oh, you know, blah, blah, you know, the sky is falling. And no, I mean, the only thing that's certain, everybody's heard this one at one time or another, the only thing that's certain is change. We're going to change. It's impossible to be ready for every change that could conceivably happen, but you can take care of your reading, your writing, and your arithmetic. Your arithmetic would be the money. You're going to have something. You need to stay away from these stupid left-wing outfits. MSNBC, see Joyless Reid got blown out?
I saw
and that
him.
Other guy. Yeah. And that other guy, what's his name? The man of color with no hair? I forgot his name. He's gone too. All these systems are collapsing right now. It's actually a good thing, but it's going to scare people. But I think they're going to be all right on the other side of it. At least we have some real leadership up there now instead of a flim-flam man like we had with Biden.
You know, yeah. I want to get your reaction to this. I think Trump and Elon already know there's no gold in Fort Knox, and they want to shock the public to prepare them for this downtime we got to go through to make the transition. I think if people are angry at what was, won't be angry at Trump for the downturn. They know things are going to get better. I think it's a psyop that they're doing right now with Fort Knox. They know.
Yeah, you mean the psyop being we're going to go and count how much is there?
Yeah.
When they already know very well there isn't anything to count there.
Exactly. And then they say, well, look, who preceded us? We didn't do this. But listen, to correct this, it's going to take a little pain. We got to get it. It's kind of like what FDR did with the fireside chats. I think they're going to have to have a calming effect, but they got to have someone to have the public direct their anger at. And that's what was and not what is.
I think there's a possibility that though the vaults may be heretofore been empty, I think there's a move being made to fill them back up because I've got a very good idea where that gold went, and that would be the state of Israel.
Yeah.
I think that's where it went, same as the gold out of the Vatican.
Well, why do you think it's Israel?
Dave, I really don't want to answer that question as directly as I could on your program, but the state of Israel exists so there's a worldwide swindle can be conducted. That's what this is all about. Mm-hmm. If you go back to World War One, and Britain was getting, and that whole deal between the Germans and the British was a big setup. And so what happens? Turkey is a friend of Germany's. So here's Woodrow Wilson, weak. So he pulls the United States in there so that Britain can actually win the war. They defeat Turkey. They seize Palestine. See, people in our culture tend to think of things happening all at once, like a Twin Towers deal, you know, something like that. Oh, this event has happened. So that means we must go to war right now. Okay, we're in. Let's go. But they don't happen all at once. It's a very slow progression. And that's why I think that the gold has gone there. There's no other place to put it. There's really no other place to put it. Because they know the United States will back them up no matter what.
And we have enough dual citizens in Congress to make that happen.
Why is that even legal, David?
Oh, you know what? You just took the words right out of my mouth, John. Because I don't care if you're a dual citizen with Canada, Mexico, Israel, I don't care where you are, you do not belong in representative government.
Well, and more to the point, and I don't want this to turn into a Mark Levin, you know, I've always liked him. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that made me like it was when he had a caller on there, he goes, get off my show, you dumbass. And I thought, oh, I like this guy. He's really direct. He actually spoke those words. But he was a little bit disappointing the other day when he goes ranting and raving about, he just threw out some things that are just patently false. But these are the talking points of the day. You know, Israel good, everybody else is bad in that part of the world. And David, there is nothing in it for me whatsoever to attract heat for criticizing that place because of the homeland and all that. But oh my gosh, man, when you get into it and you find out the numbers and you see this guy, for example, I can't remember his name, but this was in 1988. He said, here we are in 1988. Talking about this still. He had gone to the Ministry of Archives, and in there he found a letter from a very, very high-ranking British official. And what that letter said was, We've gotten a lot of mileage for our money with this poison gas and gas chambers thing, but in a long enough timeline, we're going to be caught out. So what we need to do is de-emphasize this gas chamber thing and eventually just completely stop talking about it. And I'm not paraphrasing very much. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. People went into those places and tested. They found no traces of poison gas or anything of the sort. And that Zyklon B, that was a pesticide. There's a gal, it looks like, the way the color looks and her hairstyle, it looks like it must have been done in the 80s. She's a pretty, you know, German lady, probably, I don't know, 40-something, early 40s. And she said, we were afraid because, you know, the men were over on this side and the women were over on this side. And we had heard that we might be being executed. And they herded us into the showers and we were afraid of the shower heads coming on. And they did. And she goes, you know what came out? Soap and water. They were de-lousing us. That's what Zyklon B was for.
I've heard some of that too. But I'll tell you this, and sorry for interrupting, but
that's all right. Please do.
There's something that fits here that's about back in the Obama years, I got a hold of DHS and OSHA manifest, you know, Occupational Safety Administration.
Yeah.
He imported cyanide from Brazil. I'm not joking, in huge amounts. And so, you know, I started looking at the FEMA camp thing. I think, well, maybe this is true. And then I came across Army Field Manual called FM39.43. And it was basically the how-to for FEMA camps, complete organizational manual, except they left out one thing, is how they're going to dispose of dead bodies. Because if you get large populations in any area, some people are going to die, even if it's natural. Excuse me, as we're both fighting this crud. But I think is the Democrats plan to use that at some point in time. Let me say the deep state Democrats are going to use that at some point in time if they get the opportunity to herd us into camps. I really believe, John, that Obama was the eighth inning setup pitcher for the closer, Hillary Clinton, and this would have happened then. And I think, too, that Biden was to be the closer in a second term, but he was unable to get there for obvious reasons. And I think that good old Kamala would have been the figurehead to let this happen. They want to kill conservatives. I have no doubt about that. And then you even get into the question of guillotines. We imported 30,000 guillotines in the same time frame. And why guillotines? Because you can do organ transplants with a head gone, and you can kill lots of people in a short amount of time. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there because I think that, you know, we can debate what happened in Nazi Germany and the death camps through Eastern Europe. But I think we're being set up here for that same thing. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right, and it's the same people that are organized it throughout history, and that's where things get a little dicey. Mm. You know, we have a 3-hour recording that I'm part of with a woman named Helga, and she was pretty young back in the back during World War II, and she said all of those shoes. She goes, those shoes would have been on somebody's feet. There was no shoe production. Anne Frank's notebook, you couldn't get a notebook. Nobody could get a notebook. That was all for military and nothing but. She goes, it is the biggest fraud. It is the biggest scam ever. And it really is. She said, Anne Frank didn't die in a concentration camp. She died in hospital from her injuries. Didn't die in a concentration camp. That's nonsense. Those bodies that you see all over the place. Now look, folks, these are my words. Not Dave Hodges, and I haven't come onto his program to besmirch him by my very presence. These are my words. So if you have a problem with anything that's being said here, don't look at David. Look at me. These are my words, okay? And I mean that respectfully.
Yeah.
Those photographs of all those bodies, those were among the 66 million mostly white Christians that the Bolsheviks murdered from 1918 to 1957. I have a library that is just this topic specific, that is about 8 feet wide and about 12 feet tall. And it's nothing but research material on all of this. Mm-hmm. Now, this has become cliche to the point where I believe people are reaching a semantic satiation. They have heard the same things so many times that the words have no effect anymore. But it is really true. These words. Virtually everything you have taught and been led to believe is a lie. And here's where the preaching comes in. If you go to the Bible and find out, and you will, the devil is the father of lies. What's the worst thing that you can do to somebody you care about. Lie to him. I remember James Caan and Willie Nelson did a Campula movie back in the 80s, I think, called Thief. And Willie Nelson said, he says, well, should I tell her this or that? And he goes, lie to no one. If it's somebody you love, you're going to ruin it with a lie. And if it's a stranger, who the bleep are they that you have to lie to them? We have been lied to absolutely continuously. They give us images that suggest that, oh, here's a guy from the Middle East sitting with a girl who looks like part of her bloodline might be Middle Eastern, but, oh, there's a blonde, and the three of them are having dinner together. This is not intended to be, oh, look, three friends are having dinner. It's made to look like, subliminally, what you get is, there's the guy from the Middle East, there's the blonde girl, and there's the mediator who's closer to his ethnicity than hers. All of this subliminal stuff is designed to do one thing, destroy the Israelites. Who are the Israelites? The Israelites are, here we go, the white people. Even the Vikings called him the White Christ. That letter from Pontius Pilate wrote to Caesar? I can't remember which Caesar was at this very moment. But he was talking about his golden brown hair and this and that. Oh, the 10 tribes, the lost tribes, where do they go? They went to Europe. Why do we think there are all these lions on the shields and all that? That's the Lion of Judah. Jesus was a Jew. No, he was from the tribe of Judah. Big difference. All of this stuff has been designed. This, David, I'm going to have to say this again.
Is this to undermine the Christian faith, do you think?
What's that?
Is this the entire purpose to underline the Christian faith?
Yes, because Jesus Christ is real. He's the Son of the living God, period. And what has happened with me, three guys, one of them is a pretty good old boy, never really harmed anybody, you know. The other one is a thief and a liar. And another one was really just a nice guy, just kind of a hippie guy with glasses. I haven't seen him in 50 years. And they want to have lunch next week. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that because we don't have anything in common. And it's not like, oh, well, I'm getting older now. I guess I better really suck up to God, you know, and get ready to get out of here. It's like, no. My whole life has been directed toward eventually turning Caravan to Midnight, and it, for the most part, has turned into a bona fide ministry because I want to. I mean, I was the wildest thing that anybody ever saw before or since. I called up somebody from the old Zoo days, and she started saying about you were this, and all these girls and all this stuff, and it was really quite wonderful. But the thing is, it wasn't good. It wasn't a good thing at all. Because back in those days, I'd been playing around in 1972 with this book that I found at this very pretty woman, singer and all this other stuff. We were about the same age. It goes all the way back to 72, but I got hold of this book and I thought, this is interesting. And what happens is when you expose yourself, even on a cursory level, to that sort of material, it begins to seep into you. And by the time it's all over with, you're doing things that people would go, you're lying. It's like, no. It's not a lie at all, but one time, and I don't mean to make this into a big testimony about me. I really don't, even though that's what's happening, clearly. I lost count. I stopped at 14, then I managed to get to 16, where I was absolutely dead meat, over with. You're going to die. There's no way out. And I was plucked from the jaws of certain doom over and over and over again, and it was the name of Jesus that got me out of it. So I'm just telling people right now, for anybody who has the ears to hear, you get close to your Lord, and you do it quick. I mean, today.
You may not have a lot of time. And, you know, it's interesting you'd say that your show is becoming a ministry. Same here. We're decidedly Christian at the Common Sense Show.
Got to be.
We have to be. And MAGA is decidedly Christian, even though that's not a moniker phrase. But you look at the people that are in it and the people that are pushing it, I think most of them are decidedly Christian, which is why we're subject to persecution. Because who would ever oppose Make America Great Again? We want to be great so people have a comfortable life.
Yeah.
But it's the people that are in MAGA they have the problem with. And we are dealing with satanic-inspired Bolshevik communists on the other side.
That's it.
By the way, when you talked about the PSYOP to make people believe certain things, you reminded me of what William Casey, the former CIA director, said. We know we've been successful when everything the American people believe is a lie.
And they have been successful. And look at all these. Who would spend the time watching the Microsoft National Broadcasting Corporation? Why would anybody spend their time doing this? Why would anybody trust CNN? Why would anybody trust any of these networks? They are, and here again, some more semantic satiation, because people know these things, but you know your propaganda is effective when people know it's propaganda and they believe it anyway, because there isn't anything else. So I'll just roll with this. I'd like to have a strawberry, but there's nothing but vanilla. Okay, I'll take the vanilla. That's what's happening. And you keep hearing this expression, do your own research. Okay, nauseating after about the thousandth time, do your own research, but you must. You have to look into these things deeply if they are important to you. And you will find contradictions here and there, but you go a little bit deeper and you find, not only is that not really a contradiction, but now I know why it appears to be a contradiction. Mm-hmm. Is this contrived also? The object is to keep you confused, because if you're confused, you can't think straight. And the truth is obfuscated, because you can't trust.
I agree. And it's an element of what we've been going through. And this, I can't believe people don't know their history. When you look at what's going on with our culture, cutting kids' genitals off, okay, aborting babies after they're born, which is murder. You go through all these things and you're saying, don't we recognize this for what it is? It's a Maoist cultural revolution designed to usher in communism. And this is what we've been dealing with. And people are blind to this. They fight the individual issues, like, you know, transgenders in women's bathrooms, okay, that kind of thing, men in women's sports. And they fight the individual battles, John, one at a time, but they don't realize it's a theme. It's a theme to destroy the cultural roots of this country, to usher in Bolshevik communism, which really is what, if you want to know what the New World Order is going to be like, that's what it is.
Yeah, you're entirely correct on that. And do you know, this past Saturday night, we spoke with a bunch of fantastic people. Matthew Nugent was on NEWGN2 about this port down in Chile, that we've got to get the man, we've got to get President Trump to go in there and buy this thing, or the Chinese are going to have a deep water port down there. We can ill afford to let them have that. Yeah, and then the generals came on, McInerney and Vallely came on, along with Mary Fanning. And then Judith Vary Baker came on, the longtime girlfriend of Lee Harvey Oswald. Mm-hmm. And by the time you, I was up to here in Kennedy lore before I even knew it. That's a story for another time, but oh my God, Dave, the connections were just astounding. Let me put it to you this way. When my dad was on the road for weeks and months at a time, he only had a whisk broom and a glove box and briefcase on the seat and wore a suit every day of his life. I was asked by through an unusual channel. My mother and I shared a garage apartment behind an old real estate lady's house named Helen Wessler in Arlington, Texas. There wasn't much going on in Arlington, Texas in 1963 or 62. Not much at all. She even has a little park named for her. It's kind of dismal now, but it was new back then. Brand new. And the question was, well, you don't think it was an accident that Marguerite Oswald, Lee Oswald's mother, showed up as Mrs. Wessler's personal nurse, do you? Because that happened. And there were so many things like this. I just happened to move in to a street called Swannanoa, of all things. Yeah. Sort of in the middle of Dallas, probably, I don't know, maybe 3 miles from Love Field East. And who lives four houses up from me? General Edwin A. Walker. And I had many conversations with him. Now, Walker is the guy. I think Lee was supposed to shoot him, but instead, he just put a hole in the wall of his dining room. And I told Judith Baker, I said, I understand that the call that released Lee from jail, I think it must have been Highland Park, even though he was in Dallas technically. I could be wrong, but I think it was the Highland Park Police Department, that the call to release Lee came not from Bobby Kennedy's office, but from Bobby Kennedy himself. And she goes, John, how do you know this? Because I talked to General Walker, that's why.
You think the plan to assassinate Walker by Oswald was to create the modus operandi, the personality type, to kill John Kennedy, so that story would be believable?
It could be, but Lee Oswald, and I've thought this for a long time, it came to me through a real literal network, you know, a network. You know what a network is? Well, a network is like, you got your horizontal, you got your vertical, you got all these little intersecting points here and there, but Lee Oswald was okay. That's all my dad would ever say about him. He just said he was all right. Oh, Lee Oswald, he couldn't shoot. He was a Marine rifleman. Of course he could shoot. He's down in New Orleans handing out Fair Play for Cuba down the street from the Office of Naval Intelligence, because if you're a Marine, you're Navy. You know, the Marines are attached to the Navy. But the gullible Americans were going, no. Okay, whatever you say. Anyway.
I got to throw this part in. Since you brought it up and he was passing out those pamphlets, Fair Play for Cuba, to create the MO that he'd be the assassin one day. He had an address on that leaflet, 545 Camp Street. That's where they were running guns for the Bay of Pigs operation. Isn't that interesting?
I'm shocked. No.
Oh, and I heard Oswald got in big time trouble for that too, because he shouldn't have put that on there. By the way, the Fair Play for Cuba had a membership of one, Lee Oswald, no one else.
Yeah. 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 How does a guy go to the Soviet Union, defect to the Soviet Union, and then come back? You know, how does that happen? He didn't defect to the Soviet Union that way, with his Russian wife, who I think still lives out in Rockwall, Texas.
She was the niece of the deputy director of the KGB.
Perfect.
He should have been arrested for treason, but I think he was in that fake defector program where you give a little to get a lot more back.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I think that's what Oswald, and they used that MO against him. He'll be the assassin one day. And that's what they did. You know what people never talk about with the Kennedy assassination? They gave the FBI gave Oswald a paraffin test, a nitrate test, the night of the assassination.
Yeah.
You can't wash that stuff off. He fired 8 shots, according to the Warren Commission. 5 into Officer Tippett and 3 at Kennedy and Connally. That's 8 shots. You can't get rid of that on a nitrate test. He didn't fire a gun that day.
No, he didn't. And who shoots a guy with a revolver? A cop. And dumps his brass out on the street.
I know.
Nobody.
Yeah. I
mean, why would you do this?
Especially a Marine that would know better.
Yeah, the Marine who couldn't shoot.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's insane. But if you look at it, and I'll tell you, there's a parallel, and I've written about this. What Trump is doing now is worse than what got Kennedy assassinated. He's stopping wars, military-industrial complex, Kennedy, Vietnam. Military-industrial complex expenditures all over, going to be on the Pentagon and all this. He's a threat to them. And then you've got the fascination with gold now that Trump is jumping on, and he's also endorsing Bitcoin. Kennedy had the silver certificates that threatened the Federal Reserve. I mean, you start adding these things up, John, and what Kennedy did is light years less than what Trump and Elon Musk are doing right now.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know. It makes me wonder how he is. Well, they've already tried to shoot him, twice or three times? So
3 times. They don't popularize this, but in Long Island, when he was going to speak, they found a dirty bomb inside a car. And, of course, that was meant for him. So that was the second one. The third one was the attempted assassination on the golf course. Excuse me.
Well, if ever there was a time to go by the old axiom, believe nothing of what you hear, unless you hear it on your show or mine. And only half of what you see, because people find it to be almost childish, certainly childlike. Oh, do you believe there's a big daddy in the sky? As a matter of fact, I do. You believe in Jesus? Yeah. What else? You believe there's a devil? No, most assuredly. You know, I think people had better get back to that, and they better do it pretty quick, because something's happening. All this, you remember in Scripture, it says, in the latter days, knowledge will increase. We couldn't have found out the stuff that we talk about with regularity unless we had the internet. There's information flying around all over the place. We would have never been able to get certain pieces of information. Doesn't have to be real serious, you know, depressing, heavy information. Just lots of information light. You put it together and you go, no, wait a minute. These pieces kind of fit together, don't they? You know? Let me look at this. Let me come up with an obtuse thing to put into the search engine. Whoa, look at that. I mean, that's what's happening now. Knowledge is increasing. Everything that was spoken of in the Bible is coming to pass. It doesn't have the paint job that people thought it might have, so to speak. But it's happening.
Well, the Bible says that in the end days, the sins of the leaders will be revealed. And we're clearly seeing that today. Clearly.
I think it's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. And we are in an extraordinarily unique time in history. And I hope that rather than be upset by it or anxious about it, I hope people will embrace it. This is a good thing. I mean, how many countless millions of lives need to be just ground up? The men, the woman, the children. How many of these beautiful human beings have to be ground up like hamburger meat in these endless wars before people will catch on that there's a force bigger than the ones you see on TV running this? How is it that it's almost always the wrong people who get killed in every war?
Well, it's intentional. You know, I subscribe to the notion, and I kind of came to this on my own, then I found out I wasn't alone in this belief. But if you look at Genesis 6, verse 4, and it says, and they were there afterwards. Well, who's they? The Nephilim is what they were talking about. The fallen angels kicked out of heaven for the rebellion against God. And they intermarried with earth women, DNA. And they said, and they were there afterward. After what? The next verse is about Noah's flood. I think that DNA survived with that intermarriage with earth women, and I think these evil entities that are running this planet are trying to, are descendants of the fallen angels, and this is why they're so evil.
I wouldn't argue with that a bit. And, you know, over the course of, I don't know, I didn't go looking for this stuff. It just kind of came to me as if it was known. At some point, you're going to be able to talk about this to a lot of people. And so you're just storing up your information, put the pieces together, move along, because there's going to be a lot more of it. And really, at the end of the line, it's an exciting time to be alive. What if it turns out, folks, what if it's true that the Lord of Lords and the Host of Hosts is coming back here? Are UFOs real? Please. Of course they're real. Well, what about orbs? Them too. What about ghosts? Yes. All of these things are real. They don't necessarily all of them visit everybody. And if that happened, it'd be just like, I had my great grandfather show up the other night. Oh, really? I had my great aunt show up last Tuesday. That's not what's happening. These things are done for people who will then speak about them. You can't just widely distribute this information. One of the reasons you can't do it is because the devil, the enemy with a capital E, does not want this stuff out there. The enemy wants you to think that you're really just a piece of meat. And you are fully licensed to do whatever you want. There is no accountability. Do what you want. But what happens to people who indulge in what we would call sinful behavior? They wound up tore up from the floor up, or dead. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make them stronger, healthier. Doesn't do any of that. It tears them down, destroys them, because sin destroys. And I don't judge anybody. I don't. But what I'll do is I'll say to them, you might want to look at this. Because it's not helping you. And it's going to continue to not help you until it hurts you.
I hear exactly what you're saying. I want to go back to the Jewish issue for a second. The Bible commands us to honor Jewish people. Your question is the lineage, which is the accurate interpretation, if I'm understanding correctly. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I would have to see the scripture to which you refer. Because the word, see, here's where things start getting a little dicey. The word Jew did not enter the Bible until the most commonly reported date is 1775, but I saw one a little earlier. I think it said 1712 or 1719. So, okay, that's fine. But the deception is that a long time ago, there was this place called Khazaria, the Khazarian Empire. Situated right over there by Russia. It's pretty much where Ukraine is now, but it was bigger than that, so Ukraine would have been a part of it. Mm-hmm. That's why you keep seeing stuff every once in a while about how there's a secret mass migration plan to go back to Ukraine. Okay, Palestine is Palestine. Khazaria is Khazaria. So when Lord Jesus says, you who called yourselves Jews but are not, I make you a synagogue of Satan. That's what I make of you. A couple of things. There's a big difference between a Judean, a Judahite, and a Jew, because they are, this Khazarian bunch is, they're counterfeiters. That's what they do.
Is that who's in charge in Israel, in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, positively.
I've heard that. I'll just say this, and I'm going to give you the layman's perspective here, not non-biblical. Netanyahu and most of the Israeli government that are huge into child sex trafficking, and that is undeniable, They are as evil can be. October 7th was a setup. Israel brags they can cover every piece of territory under their control in 3 minutes. They took 6 hours to respond to the attack.
Or was it seven?
Six or seven. I mean, you know, we're splitting hairs on that. In other words, they wanted it to happen to have an excuse to go after Hamas. And I'm no fan of Hamas. Believe me, I'm not. I don't shed a tear over Hamas. I shed a tear over innocent people that died because of this. But Netanyahu is as dirty can be. And I don't know his lineage, but he doesn't represent anything that I can align with.
Well, they keep talking about Israel, but what they leave out is that Israel is a people. There is no old map you can go back to that's going to say Israel.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Israel is a people. And Theodore Herzl and the Star of David. There ain't no Star of David. David never had a star, ever. That's a Star of Moloch. And Theodore Herzl hijacked it in 1897 when he invented Zionism. He only lived to be 42 years old.
We're going to get letters on this one. But yeah, I hear what you're saying, yeah.
Well, folks, all you have to do is just look it up. Look up Theodore Herzl, H-E-R-T-Z-Y-L, Herzl, Theodore Herzl, Star of David. And you'll see that he adopted that symbol for Zionism. Okay. It's not the... See, the other thing is this. Because to paint all people who identify as being of the Jewish faith with the single brush, that's wrong. What should be told is that people of the Jewish faith, this is what they were born into. They don't know any better. They did their bar mitzvah, they did their bat mitzvah, they observed the custom and so forth. But how much do they really know? And as is obvious, they are scapegoated and they are sacrificed unto death whenever it suits the Khazarians. They don't mind sacrificing a few of their own people for the greater good. They do it all the time. So it's one big bank job is what it is. It really has less to do with theology than it has to do with business. That's just the way I see it. And let's not forget, when people go on pilgrimages to Jerusalem, if I've heard one report, I've heard 100 of them. Oh, the Christians get spat on in Jerusalem when they go on these little pilgrimages and tours. Christians are not liked by that particular bunch. People are just, yeah, you know, I was born a Jew. My dad was a Jew. My mother wasn't. Okay, well, if your dad was a Jew and your mother wasn't, then you're not Jewish. Okay, because it goes through. That's another thing that should be very telling to people. In the Christian lineage, the bloodline goes through the father. In the Jewish religion, it goes through the mother. So you can be a chicken-eating Southern Baptist if you want to. You marry a Jewish girl and have a kid, that child's Jewish, according to Jewish law. It's just how it is. So whatever happened to those that Chabad up there in Brooklyn with all the tunnels underneath that and the stuffed toys of children and bloody mattresses and poopy diapers and everything else. Has anybody ever seen? And that's another thing, because it gets even more complex. You got the Torah and you got the Talmud. The people who follow the Talmud, those people are bad news. They really are. Sometime before eating, and certainly a little while go by after you've eaten anything, look up blood. Just put in blood drinking during circumcision ritual. Now, this happens among people that follow the Talmud, not the Torah, the Talmud. Watch what the rabbi does when at the moment of circumcision. Just take a look. You don't have to believe me. I don't want you to. I don't want you to believe me. I want you to be infuriated and go, I'll prove that bastard wrong. I want you to. Please do. You would be doing me a favor, but you're not going to be able to do it. Just say it. But I want you to try. I do. Because then you'll be satisfied. It's one thing to have somebody tell you something, and you go, I'll get out of here. But it's another thing if you look into it and go, oh, no. You got to do it, folks, because it's going to be crunch time. You do not want to die for any reason. Car crash, disease. I mean, it's a bucket of paint falls off a ladder and hits you from the third floor. Whatever it is, everybody's going to check off this planet one day. And you do not want to be standing there flat-footed that day with no faith, no salvation, no chance at going on, at having your life continue. Was God so mean that he would send us to hell? God does what he wants. And if hell's part of it, you reject Christ, you reject him, But you're going to get mad at him? Well, what a mean God he is. I just didn't want to believe in Jesus or him. What?
Those are the rules.
I mean, those are the rules. I mean, exactly so. Those are the rules. So you don't have to like them, but you better obey them. It's for your own good, right?
For sure.
Sorry about this, David. I don't know what's going on. Is it between the spraying and the spraying?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I gotta keep sucking this down so I can keep talking. So, yeah, this is what's going on with us physically. But I wanted to make a point here. This is not our planet. I'm speaking from a Christian perspective. And we are hated on this planet because it's not our planet. I wanted to ask you a geography question, too. When you talked about the old Khazarian Empire, would that include where the Rothschilds are from?
Oh, most assuredly.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a big chunk of land, but the backstory on the Khazarians was they were they were a bunch of wild you-know-whats. They were insane. That the kings, you want to go to war with somebody, he'd loan you 40,000 soldiers. I keep seeing that number come up, 40,000 soldiers. Now, that is suspect in some ways, but maybe it's just the same author and it appeared a different as an original source in a different publication. He'd loan you 40,000 soldiers and take a cut of the spoils. But at some point, and I'll tell you, it would do people a lot of good if they would go to YouTube and look for Benjamin Friedman, 1961 speech at the Willard Hotel. And he'll tell you about these Khazarians. I mean, these people they didn't get no badder in the bone than this bunch. And the king eventually said, listen, we're going to have to do something about this. I mean, this place is out of control. So we can go Muslim, we can go Christian, or we can go Jewish. What are we going to do? Let's go Jewish because we're not Muslim and Christian. I don't know. So they went with Judean, but they're not from the land of Judea. They just decided to pick a religion. They had to do it. Okay. Now, this is a long time ago. But eventually what happened was the Persians and the Russians, known as the Rus, came down and absolutely destroyed Khazaria, and that's when the great scattering occurred, just saying.
Same event, just a different time frame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's interesting. You've given me a lot to consider. My biblical training tells me that I should respect the Jews, but you're saying be careful which so-called Jews you respect. That's what
If they're Judeans,
yeah.
Great. If they are Hebrews, Hebrew is actually a language. But here's something else, David. Anti-Semitism. What is a Semite? Is a person who speaks it's either 11 or 14 languages, including Aramaic, Arabic, and Hebrew. Jesus was a Semite. So the greatest anti-Semitism that you could possibly commit would be insulting Lord Jesus. Is there a Jellyfish News, folks? It's got a jellyfish.news. It's a great news site. It truly is. We have a domestic crew and we have an overseas crew, and we keep it stuffed with good stories. Sometimes I will send one, not because I support or believe in what the author is putting out there. I'm putting it there to show you what the other side's doing. Because some of it is just preposterous. So it's like, read this. This is what the enemy is doing, writing this stuff. But just type into the search engine, Jesus was a Semite. And it'll come right up. You know, there's a little bar, magnifying glass, and I'll put it in. You got to click the magnifying glass once you've typed in your text. But you'll see, she wrote a brilliant article about this, and it's absolutely accurate. And I'm not saying that just because I'm married to her. You know, I mean, I probably would, but that's not the case here. You know, I mean, I support her no matter what, but if I think she's taking a bad step, I sing out about it. But she doesn't take a bad step because she's an intrepid researcher and will not publish anything that she doesn't have her facts supporting it. We've been lied to on every level. Every level.
Don't doubt that. I want to deal with another deception. The Bible talks about the great deception. And I'm going to tell you where my mind goes, and I'm not offering this as irrefutable proof of anything, but I've been watching, as I mentioned to you before we went on air, I've been watching the UAP, UFO congressional hearings dating back about a year and a half into the present. And it's interesting. I'm seeing Democrats and Republicans actually stand side by side on this issue. I'm shocked. AOC actually looked normal when she was asking questions. I mean, first time I've ever seen her sound anywhere coherent. And they have the Congress attention, and they got my attention. And then I started thinking, okay, they talked about how the Pentagon has failed its last six audits. And I thought, okay, well, they're doing black ops. That's, it's obvious. This is what the Pentagon would do if you can't trace where the money is. They're spending it on black ops. And I'm wondering if the issue of UFO and UAP, however you want to call it, is not headquartered, and if one of the main purposes of DOGE, now that they're getting into the Pentagon, is to find out the truth. And John, here's why I think this. John Kennedy had talked openly in his administration about revealing what he knew about UFOs, and he was told not to do it. And then he said, I think I need to. And then you go forward to Vince Foster. Here's Bill Clinton's childhood friend and best friends and advisor to Bill Clinton when he's president. And Clinton wanted to know two things: who killed Kennedy and what's the truth about UFOs? And Vince Foster was on the trail of both of those when he was murdered. That was not a suicide. That was clearly a murder scene. And this is a dangerous place because I'm wondering now if Elon Musk and Donald Trump aren't following in those footsteps and they're going in and tracing the money in the Pentagon. They'll get to the truth of the UAP UFO. Now, you can tell me I'm completely Looney Tunes, but I think they might be going in that direction.
Yeah, and it begs the question, if one is being just a little bit cynical, of what value will it be to learn that UFOs are real? Because many of us know very well that they are real.
They clearly exist, but where do they come from? Are they fallen angels pretending to be aliens? Are they real aliens? I mean, that's the question.
Well, I told you my story, didn't I? My own personal encounter.
No, no.
It'll take like 1 minute.
Okay.
My children's mother and I, my first wife, went to, I don't know what possessed us to do this, but we did. We went to England over Christmas holidays. It's real cold over there, and there is nothing going on in London at all. Zero, you know? So we were there for a while and saw some friends and stayed a week or so and then came back. And we flew from Gatwick. Well, first, the last night we were there, turned on TV and this cop was going, yes, it was making a very, and there were a bunch of little street children in front of him saying it was making a very low rumbling noise and going down the river, and then they changed down to another cop standing there with a bunch of little street children going with that look on their face, like, we saw it too, and it was frightening, that thing. And he said, yes, it was, you could barely see it through the mist, the underbelly of it as it made its way down the Thames. Okay, fine. The next day, we had to go to Gatwick, which is like a 2 hour drive. Couldn't go to Heathrow and get out there. Oh, no, got to go to Gatwick. Cut a long story short, what happened was we flew into Houston and we flew into Hobby, not Intercontinental, but Hobby, because apparently they were sucking up traffic from other airports, which were closing because this big ice storm that was coming. That was January the 9th, 1988. So I said, come on, let's, we're at Hobby. Let's grab a Southwest into Dallas before they shut the airport down. She goes, I'm not flying in this bleep. And she never spoke that way. And I went, well, what are you going to do? And she goes, I'm going to rent a car. We're driving. And I went, yeah, but and I looked up there, cancel, 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 cancel. And I went, good call. So we got the car and went. And about, we're driving this little gold Thunderbird. You remember the old Ford radios that that had the rectangular screen with that creepy Dayglo green? Remember those? About 30 minutes, I estimate we were at about a Conroe, about 50 feet to the tree line on each side of a two-lane north-south highway, and maybe 100 feet of a median in the middle, kind of dipped out so a cop could sit there and catch people coming and going, right? Suddenly, there is this Dayglo green light filling the cockpit. Oh, this sounds insane, I know, but I'm telling you, hand of God, this really happened. Praise be the name of Jesus. And I looked out the window, the windshield, and I looked down. I remember the song that was playing. It was When We Was Fab by George Harrison. It had just come out, I think. And looked at the console, and I looked out the driver's window, and I could see the trees on the other side of the highway, but you could just see their branches, almost like it was almost like a fluoroscope or an X-ray or night vision or something. And then it was gone. Well, we made it from Dallas, from Houston, I mean the entire trip, including from the time we got in the car and drove, we were in Dallas in 2 hours and 40 minutes. It's impossible. You cannot do that. The distance is too far. Totally impossible. My mom and dad were watching our daughter. Mom looked at dad and looked at me and said, "You just drove from Houston?" I went, "Yeah." Didn't say anything else about it. And it wasn't that night, but it was the next night. I dreamed some really weird stuff. And it really vapor locked me. I wasn't really able to speak that well. When a friend of mine who worked at Aerospatiale called me, I hadn't spoken to him for years. And I said, "Neil, you know, I've just waked up from this dream. And I'm having trouble waking up from it. And I saw these guys. I didn't see their faces. But I was on the table, and I could see up to about here. And there's a guy up here that seems to kind of be my advocate. And another guy down here that's like, I'm not convinced." You know, just I could... Later on, I saw this special. I decided I'd promote it 100 times on various television stations back in those days, the sightings. So I'm watching this, and it's the one about the three guys in the boat doing night fishing, and they get beamed on the mothership, and so help me, David. What those guys, when they got back, they didn't say a thing to each other. They just packed up their stuff and split, but they did write down what had happened to themselves and made drawings and sent them to each other, but they were no longer friends is what I hear about. They just kind of went, "That's it. We're good here." And what those guys drew is exactly what I saw, including like you're in a round room and you got an examination table in the middle of it. And the lights come up from the floor like this, like these light rods all the way around. And then other light rods come down from the top. So it makes this kind of wrong. It goes like this. They angle up from the floor up, and then they angle from the top of those over to here, like a bunch of fluorescent tubes. And I remember this one guy standing up. You couldn't really, they didn't speak, but you could hear their thoughts. That's what one of them said. And this one was he's not going to do anything. Look at him. And I was just a soup sandwich, like I'd had sodium pentothal. Ah, I've got everything under control, you know. And they're kind of going, "Wow, we got a live one here." So we're back in the car. And the next thing I know, I don't remember a thing about the trip until I saw the snow on the bridge abutments at Interstate 20 when we took 45 up from Houston and went under that. I don't remember a thing until we got to Interstate 20, which meant we were about 10 miles off. And 2 hours and 40 minutes is all it took to go from Houston to Dallas. Most people lose time. We actually gained time. And then I got a picture of a... So many of them.
It's into, you know, we're almost out of time, so I got to say this quickly.
Sorry.
How much of this, like Fallen Angels and Project Bluebeam and fake alien invasion and all? I mean, I don't know the answer, John. I'm just saying these are things that are in my mind right now. The great deception the Bible talks about, we're not sure what it is, and maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But anyway, we're out of time, and I'll tell you, we've covered a lot of topics here.
Yeah, we have.
I want you to tell people how they can follow the good work you do at Caravan.
Well, that's suitably complicated, but not really. We have a 24-hour stream on TalkStream Live. They will play the current program, the night's program, then they'll play it again, and then they'll play some earlier shows. So really all you have to do, I mean, it's on Rumble and Ivy Log and a dozen platforms, but the easiest one that everybody knows is YouTube, and it's just Caravan to Midnight, no numbers, no missing letters in Midnight, and you'll see it. The show starts at 8 o'clock, Monday through Friday. Half-hour music, then I'll do a 30-minute video prologue, and then we'll do 2 hours from 9 until 11. Then we'll do the prologue, a video prologue again, then another half-hour music, make it a little bit longer experience. People can chat and so forth. And I think you'll like it, but and we stream on this other platform. We're going to change the name of it, though, because our tech guy was paranoid, because we actually had our apps shut down when we first started this back in 2014. We don't think that you should be broadcasting this, you know, so... We call it ZooTalk, ZUTALK.com. We stream there also. So you can find us, Caravan to Midnight. No numbers, no missing letters.
Well, John, it's always a pleasure to have you on. The time always goes too fast. My best to Brendy. Safe travels for her, and continued good luck with your show. You're doing just a great job and a great public service. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure.
God bless.